Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's. Welcome to worship this morning. Very special welcome to our worship guests, some family, friends who are here. We are pleased to gather in God's house with you, to welcome you to God's house, and most of all, to share the love of Jesus with you today. Today, Jesus reminds us that when he sends us out, he does not send us out on our own intelligence, our own skill, not even our own ability to convince anyone to believe anything we say. Jesus equips us with his word, and Jesus sends us out with his authority. It worked back then, and it still works today. That's what gives us confidence to live as God's children and to be about the business that he gives us, to go and make disciples of as many people as we have opportunity to do so. I look forward to sharing those thoughts with you during the sermon today. The order of worship that we will follow following the opening hymn is the order of baptism on page 12. I'll give you an announcement at that time as well. It was a late notice, and we are pleased and excited to celebrate baptism and to share holy baptism this morning. So following our opening hymn, hymn 245, worship will continue on page 12 in the hymnal. Let us worship the Lord. Worship continues on page 12 in the front part of the hymnal with the rite of holy baptism. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God, and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words.
Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance. deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever.
As baptized children of God, we confess our sin.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then we will continue with the baptism, so I invite Tim to come forward and those who will be coming up with him to come up at this time. Tim, by the power of the Word, the Holy Spirit has led you to believe that this new life in Christ in baptism is yours. Now, in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus assures you of your salvation. That you may give a public testimony of your faith, I therefore ask you, do you believe that you were born in sin and therefore eternally lost? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that this triune God planned and carried out your salvation? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that God grants you the forgiveness of sins in holy baptism? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you desire to be baptized today? If so, answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Tim, receive the sign of the cross upon your head and upon your heart to mark you as a redeemed child of God. Timothy Hull, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all of your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Amen. Congregation, please stand. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach His precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially those who are witnesses, to assist in whatever manner possible so that Tim may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer yes as God gives me strength.
Yes, God gives you strength.
Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. Look with special favor on Tim and grant him a rich measure of your Spirit, that he may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our worship continues on page 4 in the Sunday morning worship booklet with the song, Glory to God.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Amos chapter 7. Here the prophet Amos reminds us that if it were up to us to make the word of God work, if it were up to us to cause the change that the Lord is looking for, his ministry, our efforts would be done before they even started. It's never been about us. It's about the power and authority that comes from the Lord. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day for this morning on page 7 is Psalm 78. We will sing the psalm responsively by verse. Psalm 78.
Teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. We will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light for my path.
The Lord decreed statutes for Jacob, and established the law in Israel. Their trust in God and would not forget his deeds but would keep his commands.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning.
The second lesson is recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Not only would our inability disqualify any of us from proclaiming the word, so would our sin and sinfulness. The same is true for men of God who go out in God's name. They are first and foremost forgiven men of God, and by God's grace, and by God's grace alone, they enter the public ministry and serve you with the word of God. These are the goals that the man of God ascribes to and strives for. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6. This lesson will be the basis of the sermon this morning. Calling the 12 to him, Jesus sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave, as a testimony against them. Then they went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We join together in the hymn of the day, hymn 525.
In the name of him who has called you to be his very own and has called you to be his ambassadors. In the name of Jesus. Imagine just for a little bit that you were the one selected from a long list of candidates to be an ambassador of the United States to a very hostile foreign country. It's your job to go back into that country and kind of clean things up a little bit. It's your job to win the people over again. It's your job to reclaim and reestablish peace. It's your job to go and confront those who are causing problems. And as you're being commissioned, the president himself is speaking at the ceremony. And he's saying all kinds of glowing things about you, and he's saying what an important job this is. And then he ends by saying, oh, and by the way, you're going to be on your own over there. The United States of America will not stand behind you. The office of the president will not support you in any way. If you get yourself in trouble, if you find yourself in danger, we are going to do nothing to help you. And if you fail, we're going to bring you back, we're going to decommission you, and your political career will be ruined forever. How high is your confidence going to be on the flight over to the foreign country? Now, say you have the same job, the same tasks, the same job requirements, only this time the president says, and let me assure you, I myself will personally stand beside your work. You have the full authority and backing not only of this office, not only of the government, but of all the people of the United States. If you ever find yourself in trouble, we will spare no expense, no resource to help you. We will do everything we can to make your mission a success. Now, obviously, which job would you want? Which situation would you rather find yourself in? I don't know if that's exactly how it works. I doubt there's actually that kind of situation out there. But there is a situation in which God sends us out to be his ambassadors. And there is an enemy out there. And the enemy will oppose you. The enemy will reject you. The enemy will do everything it can to make sure that you fail. But Jesus promises you, and he promises me today, it is not up to you to win anybody over. It's up to him, and it's up to his word. And he promises to go with you. He promises to go with me with the full backing and authority of the kingdom of God, of the word of God, and of Jesus himself. Jesus sends us out with authority. Authority to overcome the enemy, authority to handle rejection, and finally, authority to win over the opposition that we're going to face as we do. You know, at first read, you take a look at the gospel for today, and it looks like Jesus is kind of setting these people up for failure. Usually when you're going on a very important mission, you got a big plan, you make all your preparations, and you maybe overpack because you want to be prepared for every situation. But did you catch what Jesus tells these people to do? Jesus sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. When you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. You think, no supplies, no gear, no extra money, not even a plan? You know, it's almost like Jesus forgot that there are evil spirits out there and these people were really going up against them. It's almost like Jesus forgot what happened a couple chapters ago. People were not happy to see him. They were not happy to listen to him. In fact, you remember a couple weeks ago they called him Satan himself and said that the ministry Jesus is doing, he's doing by the power of the devil. And Jesus says, oh, don't worry about it. Don't take anything. Just go. And it's going to be okay. because Jesus sent them out with the full backing and authority of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus sent them out and equipped them with the word of God. And despite first read skepticism, they went out and did what Jesus said, and it worked. They had the power and authority to overcome the enemy, because the enemy really wasn't some of the loudmouth skeptics out there that were calling Jesus the devil. That wasn't the enemy. The enemy wasn't the evil spirits that were causing all kinds of problems. That wasn't the enemy either. The enemy always has been and always will be Satan, who was employing these people and employing these evil spirits to oppose Jesus. But even they had no defense. Then they went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And even in the face of rejection, even when it looked like, okay, some people in some towns, they just kicked these guys out. They didn't want anything to do with them or their message. Even then, Jesus won. Because that did not catch Jesus off guard. He said, if you get rejected, this is exactly what I want you to do. And if in any place they will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They weren't successful because they were skillful or because they were well-spoken or because they had superior knowledge of the scriptures. They were successful because Jesus sent them out with authority. Jesus sent them out with his word, and their ministry worked. So how well equipped do you feel to be on this ambassadorship mission that Jesus has sent you on? Because it's not just the pastors who are on this mission. You're on this mission too. And I was thinking about this, and maybe sometimes the more that you see what's going on out there and what we face today, maybe you're thinking, oh, evil spirits. Yeah, let's go up against them, because what we're up against today is so much bigger and is so much worse. And it looks like we're losing. And it looks like we're losing this generation. And the next generation has no hope at all. But if you stop and think about it, is anything out there really our enemy? Are there some folks who wear black robes and they sit in a room and they make decisions on behalf of our nation? Is that really the enemy? You know, there's some loudmouth out there who can't wait to spout off on Facebook, who can't wait to tweet you to death because you believe in Jesus and because you believe this and because you believe that. And is that person really your enemy? And there are people out there who can't wait to round up as many of God's people as they can and take care of them in whatever gruesome way possible just because they confess Jesus. And are those people really your enemy? Are they really the church's enemy? And your kids have friends who are influencing them and are leading them away from Jesus. And their parents are probably doing the same. And their parents probably get upset if your kids talk about Jesus. But are those friends of your kids and are those parents really your enemy? We are up against bigger things than politics, than an unfriendly society, than challenging classrooms and challenging friendships and relationships. We are up against Satan himself. And he employs everything at his disposal to stand between you and God, to oppose the mission you are on, that is, to share the good news of Jesus with more and more people. And it's easy for us to doubt and to worry and to become skeptical of what in the world is God doing and why is he letting this happen, and this is worthless, this is not going to help. We're losing this generation, we've lost the next already. And Satan likes nothing more than to get you to believe that lie and to get you to doubt God, and to get you to doubt the power and authority and the tools that he has equipped you with. And I think it works. He gets us to believe the lie that we should worry because there's nothing we can do. As if the church is lost, as if the gospel doesn't work, as if we need to figure out something new to do before we lose the fight. And here's proof that it works. What gets you more upset? A court ruling? Or the fact that your enemy gets you to doubt God almost daily? What causes you more concern? the loudmouth on Facebook, or the Twitter pro, or the newscaster, or the fact that every day Satan gets you to believe the lie that it would be better for you to sin than to listen to your God. What causes you more grief? The sadness, the danger, the threats that are out there, or the fact that Satan is winning when he cuts you tiny little paper cuts over and over and over again, and he gets you to sin in your mind, and he gets you to sin with your hands and your body, and he gets all kinds of filth and vulgarity and hatred and anger and hurt to come out of our mouths? Which causes you more grief? Satan is very good at deflecting us from what really is really going on in here, where the battle is really fought and where he is really winning. It is not out there. It is in here. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The mission is not to win a court case. The mission is not to win a Facebook argument or to tweet your opponent to death. It is not to affect social concern. It is not to do anything in our classrooms. Our mission is to represent God in the fight against Satan himself. And Jesus promises that we are going to win, because he equips us with his word and he sends out with his full authority and backing. They went out and preached that the people should repent. And you would think that's the last thing you should say to anybody, right? Go and share the truth of God's word and tell people that you need to turn to God for forgiveness. You need to stop doing this and go to God, and God will love you and forgive you. You would think that's the last thing that we should ever do, and certainly the last thing that would ever work. But they went out and they preached that message, and it rendered Jesus' enemies helpless. And we know that it worked because they were able to heal people, and they won people over with the good news of forgiveness and peace through Jesus. So if we are going to join this battle, the first thing we need to do too is to listen to Jesus' word and repent. And repent is not a bad word. Repent is just throw our sins before God and tell him we're sorry. Tell God that you are sorry for the times that you let things that are going on out there create all kind of doubt and worry and anxiety in your heart. Tell God that you're sorry that you believe Satan's lies, that there are better choices than his word, that there are better choices than his morals, and that living for him and according to his ways is the best possible. Tell God you're sorry for the things that you've done with these, for the sins that you've thought up here, for some of the things that have come out of your mouth. And every time he will love you and forgive you. Because even though our attitudes and our doubts and our worries and our sins should line us up in Satan's prisoner of war camp, we should be condemned to hell forever. Jesus went there for us. Even though we fail God every day in this fight, Jesus never did. And he died on the cross for our failures, and he rose again on Easter Sunday to guarantee and to secure our victory over Satan, our victory over death. Even though God should have nothing to do with us, he calls us his own, and he gives us his message. He makes us his ambassadors, and he sends us out, not for failure, but he sends us out with his authority, guaranteeing our victory. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go stick your head in the sand and pretend like nothing is going around and pretend like everything is great. But don't buy into doubt. Don't buy into worry. Don't buy into Satan's lies. And don't get distracted from who your real enemy is and what he wants. Because he wants to tear you away from Jesus forever. But Jesus has promised you that's not going to happen. And when we faithfully preach his word and call people to repentance and stand up for the truth, Satan has nothing to do. Satan has no defense against the word of God. And Jesus guarantees us a victory. Even if you're rejected, even if you are rejected. Because Jesus gives you a strategy for that as well. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, Shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And that's not a green light. That is not a green light to be rude or to be hurtful or to be hateful or to get revenge or to deny somebody the love of Jesus because you don't like them. It's a green light from Jesus to keep going because it's worth it. Because the Word of God is powerful and effective, and He just might use you to win an eternal victory over Satan in the heart of somebody you know, of somebody you love, of somebody you care about. You know, I don't know politics super well. I don't know how you commission an ambassador. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't go like what I talked about earlier. But I know exactly how Jesus commissions people to go out. Public ministers, He commissions them to go and preach the gospel. You, God's people, He commissions you to go and preach the gospel. And He knows exactly what you're up against. And He knows exactly what you need. You need the Word of God. You don't need your own plan. You need the good news of Jesus. You don't need super knowledge of the Scriptures. You need to tell people that they are loved by God and they are forgiven by God. And you have the full backing and authority of Jesus to make that promise and to use that powerful message that works. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Jesus promises to give you the same authority too. To have confidence in your relationship with Him now, confidence in your mission now, and confidence of eternal life with Him forever in heaven. May Jesus equip you with that confidence that only comes from His authority. Amen. Please stand. We confess our faith and confidence in our God with the words of the Nicene Creed. They're printed on page 10 in the service booklet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue our worship by worshiping our God with our offering.
Thank you.
At this time, our service will continue with the rite of installation of our Vacation Bible School staff, teachers, and help. So I would invite all the confirmed members and participants to come forward at this time. Dear friends in Christ, you have been called as teachers, staff, and help for this year's Vacation Bible School at St. Mark's Lutheran Church. As you carry out your work, you are doing the work the Lord has committed to his church, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, to feed his lambs, the lambs of the Lord Jesus. You do this work on behalf of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church and in association with the parents who entrust your children to your instruction and care. Your work is both a great privilege and a serious responsibility. To equip yourselves for this blessed work, it is necessary that you faithfully study God's word, devote yourselves to prayer for those entrusted to your care, and carefully prepare for the lessons you will teach and the responsibilities that you will oversee. It is also of great importance in the teaching of the Savior's little ones that you set an example by your Christian lives. I now ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, are you willing to accept this responsibility and do your work faithfully according to the ability God has given you? If so, answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, I ask God to help me.
I now install you as teachers, helpers, and staff of Vacation Bible School at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God grant you his Spirit of wisdom, of strength, and joy, to carry out your duties to his glory and for the good of his children. Dear members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these individuals as servants of Jesus Christ, teachers of the gospel, and gifts to his church. Support them in their work. Pray for them. Bring your children and grandchildren and friends to Vacation Bible School so that you and your families and friends may receive the eternal blessings the Lord promises those who hear the word of God and learn from the word of God. To that end, let us pray. Gracious Savior, you bless every effort to bring children up in the Christian faith. We ask you to give wisdom, kindness, and perseverance to teachers who feed your lambs. Teach them your truth so that they may teach others. Cause the children entrusted to their care to be eager to learn about their Savior. May your goodness go out into all the earth so that the people in this community and everywhere may hear it and believe it. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. May the God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you in your work. Amen. May you return. In our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember Tommy and Kayla Privett and Kayla Oswald. They were married yesterday. We'll ask God to bless them. We will also ask a further blessing upon our Vacation Bible School. And God, ask God to bless the word that was planted in the hearts of our young people at Tree of Life Bible Camp this last week. Let us pray. Holy and immortal God, we thank you for having so bountifully given to the world its daily bread, providing the seed whose power unfolds to make fruitful the labors of the farmer. We thank you for all of the earthly physical blessings that you provide for us day after day. But we especially give thanks that you provided for our soul's hunger in the gift of the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, your Son. Grant, O Father, that we may believe in him with all our hearts
and find satisfaction in this heavenly food. O God, grant that we may find in Christ the strength we do not find in ourselves, the power to uphold us in the toil and conflict of this earthly life, the resolution to do your will, and the determination to overcome our sins and bring forth the fruits of righteousness. We thank you for the watchmen that you have set over your church, who preach your word with all boldness. We ask that you be the helper of our families. Implant your word in the hearts of our children and your love in our parents, that they may enjoy now and forever the fruits of holiness. We ask that if it is your will that you free the afflicted from their troubles and bind them to you, that they may have abundant life and live to your service and praise. We thank you for the many blessings that you share with us in this life. Today we thank you for your gift of marriage. We ask that you bless Tommy and Kayla in their marriage. We ask that as they grow closer to you, they may grow closer to one another. Bless them in all that they pursue. Help them to look to you in good times and in difficult times. And bless the bond that they entered into. We also thank you for the privilege of sharing the good news of Jesus with children here at St. Mark's in the many ways that we do. This coming week, we ask that you bless our Vacation Bible School. May the word of God that we share work in the hearts of these children. May they come to know you better. May they be convinced that it is best to live with you and to live for you. We ask that you give our helpers and staff and teachers patience and wisdom as they work with the children, that what we do may glorify you and bring these children closer to you and one day home to heaven. We also thank you for the opportunity to participate in Tree of Life Bible Camp. We ask that you would bless the word of God that the campers heard during the week. We ask that you bless the relationships that were formed. This is the future of our Northern California congregations. We ask that you instill in them now a love for you and a love for one another, that they may be prepared to take the gospel to the next generation. And finally, O Lord, you alone know our frame, and remember that we are weak, and remember that we are dust. As we go from this holy place, by your great mercy, renew us in faith, hope, and love, that today and always we may live as your children. Through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are about to begin the Holy Communion portion of our service. Scripture teaches that when we receive Holy Communion, we receive Jesus' true body and true blood, and that receiving the sacrament is a public statement that we are united in everything that we believe and teach. For those reasons, we invite to Holy Communion this morning those who have made a public confession of unity of faith with St. Mark's through membership at St. Mark's or through membership in one of our sister congregations of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. If you are our worship guest this morning and have not yet had the opportunity to make such a public confession of unity with St. Mark's, but would like to commune here in the future, please speak with me at a time that works well for you. I'd be happy to further explain our communion practice, and Pastor Stray and I would be happy to work toward that common confession of unity and of faith. Our worship continues with our preparation to receive the sacrament near the bottom of page 11 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right for us to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Having been assured of God's love for us in his word, as well as through the sacrament this morning, we ask him to send us on our way in peace. We do so with the Song of Simeon on page 15. Please stand. Give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Again, and welcome to everyone. It was good to be in God's house with you, to be reminded of the authority that is ours because of who our Savior is,
May that authority go with you and equip you to live for your God this week. I would enjoy visiting with you if you are our guest. If we have a chance, I'd like to visit with you in the lobby. If that doesn't work, perhaps we could connect sometime during the week. I'd like to share more about St. Mark's with you and how we can serve you with the good news of Jesus. The only announcement that I'm aware of is a reminder of the Vacation Bible School meeting that is going to be after the second service as quickly as possible. And where is that meeting going to be held? In Mr. Walker's classroom? I believe so as well. So there's two of us now, so that makes it correct. After the second service, as quickly after worship as we can, we'll get that meeting going. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to have a very brief congregational voters meeting to take care of two very specific items that came up during the council meeting. And we will publish those and print those so that you can be up to speed. It will be a very brief meeting. It will happen 2 weeks, so we will publish that info next week. And then the following week, we'll meet briefly at a time that will be determined. So give a heads up for that announcement coming soon. Those are the only two that came to mind. If I'm missing any, we can share that now. Doesn't sound like it. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out this morning.